Welcome to the Radio 191 FM podcast.
You're tuned into R1 News at 1. Every weekday from 1 till 2 p.m, our dedicated news team brings you the hard-hitting stories, interviews and culture pieces from across Otepoti, Dunedin.
This is the R1 News for Wednesday, 31st July. We'll be coming at you with the bulletin today and also an interview with Jess.
Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
This is the R1 News Bulletin for Wednesday, 31st of July. I'm Adam.
I'm Tristan.
And I'm Celia.
In national news, carbon dioxide levels have reached a new record high at NIWA's monitoring site off Wellington's coast. Kate Newton from RNZ reports. NIWA's weather station at Byron Head has shown results of an annual average of 416 parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere, which is up from 414 parts per million from last year. Byron Head Station is the longest-running clean air station in the Southern Hemisphere. The station works to capture baseline samples of air coming from the Southern Ocean before it can be further tainted by any interactions with land industry. Since the establishment of the station in 1972, CO2 concentrations have increased by 28%. With the station recording a low of 326 parts per million when it was first established. NIWA Principal Atmosphere Technician Gordon Brailsford states that there is no doubt where the CO2 increase is coming from, and pointed at increasingly significant usage of fossil fuels worldwide. This increase follows the world's hottest ever day last month, and a recent draft emissions reduction plan released by the New Zealand government showing that the nation is projected to miss its emissions targets set for 2030.
Born between the years around 1965 to 1980, Generation X were once known as cynical and disaffected. Gen Xers faced the economic shifts of a newly free market in the 1980s, witnessed the rise of the internet and were influenced by the grunge movement and hip-hop. A classic Gen X character, Troy Dyer from Reality Bites, encapsulated their disenchanted outlook on life. RNZ reports on the census data which tracks the life and evolution of Gen Xers in New Zealand, quoting their shift as going from slackers to bosses. The data shows that they have achieved significant financial stability, with many holding professional and managerial roles. Despite their initial scepticism, they have adapted and thrived, making a significant mark on both their professional fields and personal lives. This is notable for us younger generations as it provides context for the economic and cultural landscape that we're entering and the generational shifts that influence our opportunities and challenges.
In international news, Air New Zealand has become the first major international airline to abandon its 2030 goal to cut carbon emissions. Joao da Silva of BBC reports, this cut allows for Air New Zealand's 2020 policy that sought to see the airline cut its emissions by almost 20%. By 2030, a goal much more ambitious than a 5% reduction over the same time frame set by the global aviation industry. Air New Zealand places the blame on ongoing difficulties to secure more efficient planes and sources of sustainable jet fuel. This includes delays to new aircraft deliveries, with both Boeing and Airbus under-delivering new jets over the last few years. Air New Zealand Chief Executive Officer Greg Foran addressed this failure in a press release, stating that it has become apparent that potential delays to our new fleet renewal plan pose an additional risk to the target's achievability. The airline added that it is now working on a new short-term emissions target, as well as remaining committed to an industry-wide goal of achieving net zero emissions by 2050. Currently, the aviation industry is estimated to produce around 2% of global carbon dioxide emissions.
Thousands of Venezuelans are heading towards the presidential palace in Caracas to protest against President Nicolas Maduro's claim of victory in the country's disputed election. Ione Wells of BBC reports that pictures posted of the crowd on social media include captions saying "Knock down the dictator" and "Everyone to Miraflores," where the palace is located. The BBC have spotted an armed military convoy traveling to the presidential palace with soldiers in balaclavas standing on the back of the cars carrying large rifles. Tear gas was fired by police as protests erupted in the Venezuelan capital the day after Maduro claimed he had won. The opposition had disputed Maduro's declaration of victory as fraudulent, saying that its candidate, Edmundo González, won convincingly with 73.2% of the vote. Opposition parties had united behind González in an attempt to unseat President Maduro after 11 years of power, amid widespread discontent over the country's economic crisis. Many people banged pots and pans from their homes and on the streets. One group stood outside in the pouring rain chanting Afuera, meaning out, and Libertad, meaning freedom. Footage shown were tires burning on highways and large numbers of people on the streets, with police on motorbikes firing tear gas. The BBC spoke with a number of people who attended one protest in a densely populated area known as La Lucha, meaning the fight. A protester said the vote was a terrible fraud, continuing with, "We won with 70%, but they did the same thing to us again. They took the elections from us again." The Venezuelan Attorney General warned that the blocking of roads or breaking any laws related to disturbances as part of protests would be met with the full force of the law, and that 32 people had been detained on accusations ranging from destroying electrical materials to sparking acts of violence. Officials have emphasized that while they have doubts about the result, President Maduro did call an election and allow an opposition candidate to be on the ballot paper, even if the opposition leader was banned from running.
In Orti Porti news, the two-night genre-diverse Flipper Fest is coming up on August 9th and 10th. The event is dedicated to supporting the Yellow-Eyed Penguin Trust, a New Zealand conservation organisation dedicated to protecting and preserving hoiho, the yellow-eyed penguin, one of the world's rarest and most endangered penguin species. The trust focuses on conserving the natural habitat of the hoiho, which includes building and maintaining reserves, preserving coastal areas and supporting native plant life beneficial to the penguin's environment. Flipper Fest will feature local Dunedin talent and Christchurch bands blending surf rock, punk and indie sounds. Performances will take place at the Crown in New Bar with acts including Ani Safa, Leo Lilly and Caribou. Doors open at 8pm August 9th and 10th. Tickets are available online at Under the Radar. This has been the R1 News for Wednesday 31st of July. Today's bulletin was written by Adam Stightley, Celia Ward and Tristan Serrano, and read to you by Adam Stightley, Celia Ward and Tristan Serrano.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts or head to r1.co.nz/news.
We are back with Radio 1 News and joining us now is Jess Hoare, a master's student in the School of Psychology at the University of Auckland. Jess is involved in the music community as a musician, producer and audio engineer and runs a community organisation that supports women and gender diverse musicians called Women About Sound. Jess has designed a project exploring men's understandings of the issue of sexual harm and their role in prevention within the music community in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Through the research, Jess hopes to invite men to be part of a solution-focused project that contributes to making New Zealand music community a more inclusive and safe space for all. We have Jess here live with us now. Thank you so much for coming on, Jess. Welcome.
Kia ora.
Do you mind just telling the listeners, first of all, the general core meaning of your project and why you decided to do it?
So as you said in the intro, it's about research project about how to engage men in sexual harm prevention in the music community in Aotearoa. And as you mentioned, understanding how they see the issue, what might engage men in prevention and what might be kind of act as barriers to engagement, and kind of what factors within the music community, because there's sort of like specific cultural dynamics within the music mm-hmm. community and power dynamics and all of that, and how that can kind of come into play when we're thinking about prevention.
And
I suppose I specifically wanted to do this project because I've always had, throughout my postgrad studies, I've had an interest in engaging men in prevention just in general.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a musician myself and seeing how the issue of sexual harm in the music community has kind of come up quite a lot in the last few years, I thought, combining those two things would be quite hopefully useful for the music community.
Yeah, amazing. And so to do the project, you're facilitating focus group discussions with adult mm-hmm. men, and you're currently recruiting participants age 18 to 25. Can you kind of explain this a wee bit more?
Yeah, like what would they be doing?
Yeah, yeah.
So I have been having doing groups so already, but yeah, specifically looking for a few more younger participants, the 18 to 25 year old bracket, because it's really important to hear the perspectives across all ages. And yeah, it's just basically the groups we involve being in a group with about three others or two to three others, and it's quite an open conversational style. It's around 2 hours, and yeah, I just ask a few questions and then the participants kind of take it where they want to take it. Like, it's quite open, it's not like a formal interview structure, it's quite an open discussion.
Yeah.
So it depends on what things that each group brings up, which has been quite diverse. And yeah, it's just creating an open, non-judgmental space just to have a conversation with each other, really.
Awesome. How can listeners who are interested in participating or supporting your research get in touch with you?
Yep, so they can email me at, shall I give you the email address?
Yeah.
Yep. So it's jh006@aucklandunie.ac.nz.
Okay.
And then I can, yeah, if you email me, then I can provide a bit more info about the project.
Yeah, I'll mention that again at the end. So with the whole project, what are your long-term hopes for the impact on the research on the New Zealand music community?
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, it's just one little step within that to move towards sort of finding some positive solutions. And just because this topic has been quite under-researched in New Zealand, there hasn't been a lot of research around specifically the music community and harm that's occurring, and also even just in general about engaging men in prevention. So it's sort of adding that research to help form an understanding of what the issues are and really understanding the music community. Because, you know, when we think about prevention approaches, it's really important to tailor it to the specific community, because otherwise we might do things that aren't going to be that effective or aren't quite tackling the issues or the barriers and things like that. So it's just sort of helping to provide some research that might inform some prevention strategies in the future.
Yeah.
And encourage more men to get involved as well.
Yeah. Has your experience as a musician or working in the music industry, and I mentioned in the intro your Woman About Sound, has that kind of intersected in the research that you've found already and things you've experienced in your own life?
Yeah, like I think it's helped, you know, because I am part of the music community, I think it has helped me to understand a little bit more about some of those factors that occur and, you know, the kind of general culture of music and, you know, performing in a little bar and, you know, just sometimes by yourself putting on your own gig, and it can be quite, you know, like, yeah, you don't always work for an organisation, so there's all those factors that come into play when it's a very informal community in a lot of ways. So that, I think having that understanding has probably helped me engage with the people in the group as well. And yeah, and I think with my work about Women About Sound, I mean, that's all about trying to get more women and gender diverse musicians within to, you know, participate in the music community, and especially in areas that are a bit underrepresented. And I suppose, you know, hearing about all those issues about this of sexual harm that's occurring just made me realise there is potentially another quite significant barrier for people to get involved in the music community.
I had a research project, just a mini assignment for my paper last semester on the same topic or similar topic, and I was asking women if they felt safe in live music environments, and they often said that they felt safer when it was women in the bands or women performing, women actually involved in the music industry. Would you say that you find that too from your research?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's come up quite a lot so far in the groups, like that, you know, in these spaces where it's been heavily male dominated, and especially in some particular scenes in the music community, yeah, it can be, you know, it can be pretty daunting for you know, non-dudes to be in that environment, because yeah, you do feel a bit more, I suppose, exposed. I don't know what the word is, but you feel a bit more, yeah, just a bit more vulnerable to things that could happen, because and also, you know, when there is more diversity within a scene, it, I think it just helps to mitigate those, the potential for harm.
Yeah, 100%.
Because there's just more people around, like, being, and they've got more awareness potentially as well.
Yeah, 100%. Amazing. Well, it's such a cool project you're doing and very important. So I encourage listeners, if you're a male between the ages 18 to 25, to please get in touch with Jess. I might get you to remind them of the email one more time, because I forgot.
Oh, yes. So the email, yes. It's jhau006@aucklanduni.ac.nz.
Amazing. Thank you. Well, Jess, thank you so much for coming on. I'm so glad that we could help share the project, and I hope it goes well. It's amazing work that you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on the air.
Thank you.
To conclude this interview, I'd like to mention that the Otago University has Te Whare Tawharau, which is a sexual violence support and prevention centre. They do workshops, volunteering, and have just general information about the topics of this interview. Their walk-in hours are Monday and Tuesdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Wednesday, Fridays to from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And they're located on 5 Leith Bank, North Dunedin.
That was Jess Hoare, the Master's Student of University of Auckland, speaking on her project regarding sexual harm in the music industry. Thank you for listening. Next up is Boy Crush Kitchenette.
The R1 News at 1 weather forecast.
This is the weather. Yeah, it's just cold out there. Pack a parka or something.
The R1 News at 1 weather forecast.
This has been the R1 News on Wednesday the 31st of July. We have been your host. I'm Celia.
I'm Tristan.
I'm Adam.
I'm Tristan.
I'm Adam.
You can listen to the news on Spotify. We had an interview today with Jess. You can re-listen to that on Spotify. Thanks for tuning in. The time is 1:38. Have a lovely day.
You've been listening to R1 News at 1, here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. The R1 News is uploaded daily wherever you get your podcasts, or head to r1.co.nz/news to get yourself all caught up. Additionally, you can follow R1 News NZ to keep up to date with all our newsworthy happenings.
This was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.